Yes, sorry, that's what I was going to say, that this session will be recorded and that you can find it on the calendar afterwards.
Including the slides.
Yep.
Okay, thank you and welcome to this second webinar on the IDM PDP update, and this is more in preparation especially of the CCNSO members who are eligible to vote on the outcome of, say, or on the council recommendation. The purpose of this webinar is to explain two things. First of all, say, the voting process itself, and secondly, say, what is included in the council recommendation, because it is a whole set and a whole package of proposals which I hope will become clearer as soon as we run through the presentation. So let me start off by saying we first go into a bit on the current status and the next steps of the policy development process itself. Then we'll go into the voting, why it's important, and say the logistics involved, and Gabi will do the logistics regarding the voting. And then after we've done that part, I'll go into more detail into the council recommendations, so the proposals coming out of the policy development process. Current status. At the Beijing meeting, the CCNSO Council adopted all the recommendations contained in the final report. And that was at this, as a result, two working groups closed, so Working Group 1, IDM PDP Working Group 1, that has been developing the overall policy or the recommendations for an overall policy for the selection of IDN CCTLD strings was closed, and the second working group, so working group 2, that developed the recommendations on the inclusion of IDN CCTLD managers in the CCNSO was closed as well. At the same time, and as a result, the CCNSO Council submitted a request to the ICANN Board to implement the proposed confusing similarity review methodology in the fast-track process to experiment with this new approach. The chair of the CCNSO informed the chair of the GAC that we've reached this stage in the IDM PDP, and as a result, the GAC has been formally asked for advice or opinion on the recommendations. And this is part of the CCNSO policy development process rules. So the next step is that the CCNSO members vote on the council recommendation, and if adopted by the membership, the recommendations will be submitted to the board by the CCNSO council, and hopefully we'll be able to conclude this process, so the voting process before the Durban meeting, so it can be submitted to the board, and that will conclude the IDM PDP process. The IDN, as I said, the council adopted all the recommendations from the working groups, and this whole set of this whole package is now the council recommendation. So it's a set of proposals for the overall policy, and it's a set of proposal on the inclusion of IDN CCTLDs in the CCNSO, and a set of proposals more of a procedural nature, and I'll go into more details later on in the presentation. But so you need to keep in mind the vote is on the council recommendation, and that is on the full set of proposals relating to both the policy for the selection and the inclusion of IDN CCTLDs. So the members vote. As I said, the members vote is on the council recommendation, and the members will be requested to cast a vote either in favor, against the council recommendation, or if they feel uncomfortable, abstain, but at least cast a vote. There is one vote per member, and and that's about it. So if you look at the policy development process rules, there is, in fact, a first round of voting, and I'll go in more details of the first round. And if needed, there can be a second round, but we hope to avoid it. If you look at the policy development process rules and the members' vote, that one of the requirements is a quorum, and that is that a majority of the CCNSO members need to cast a vote. So currently the CCNSO has 136 members. That means at least 68 of the members need to vote. So if 67 or less vote, then we'll go into a second round of voting. So this is the quorum requirement, and hence it's we really seek and ask the CCNSO membership to vote no matter what, but at least vote so we can avoid a second round, because that will take us way beyond the Durban meeting. Secondly, and that's more on the adoption rule, the policy will get adopted, or the council recommendations will be adopted as a CCNSO council or as a CCNSO recommendation if from 66% of the votes cast are in favor of the council recommendations. So let me take you through a set of examples. So you have to keep in mind the CCNSO has currently 136 members. That means, say, in example one, if 110 CCNSO members cast a vote, then at least we've met the quorum requirement. And if 80 out of the 110 accept and adopt or vote in favor, then the policy is adopted. In a second example, say, or that's in this case example three, if 90 would vote, then still we over 68 members, so we've met the quorum rule. But if only out of these 90, only 55 vote in favor of the council recommendation, then the policy is not adopted, not accepted, and therefore, that's the end of the policy development process as well. So, and the second example, and that is hopefully we can avoid it, if only 60 members would vote, then we would not meet the quorum requirement, and that means we need to run a second round of voting that is without a quorum, then only 66% of the votes cast anyway need to be in favor in order to get adopted. But I think the signal it sends to the broader community is not very favorable. But that's my private opinion. Now, the voting procedure itself. And Gabi will go into more detail about the voting procedure itself. Gabi, over to you.
Yes, I think Carolina had a question first to you. Is the council recommendation available online?
The council recommendation is available, but that's in the members' report. And there will be, say, later on, at the end of the presentation, you'll see a URL on the council recommendation. The council recommendation, as I said, is the full set of recommendations or proposals contained in the final report or in the members' report? Gabby?
Yeah. Okay, so about the voting itself, it will start next Wednesday, the 22nd of May, 0001 UTC, and it ends 3 weeks later on the 11th of June at 2359 UTC. And the day before the voting starts on the 21st of May, the CCNSO primary contact will receive an email message from the address tally@icann.org. You will see I put a screenshot of what it actually looks like in your inbox. So it doesn't come from a name or anything. It comes from this email address. This is what your ballot will look like. And what's important here, it comes to our primary contact. And you might have seen on the email list during the last weeks that I've been encouraging people to check who their primary contact is, because very often people forget over the years, or something might have changed and they forgot to change it with us, because our database is not linked to any other database. It's not linked to the IANA database. So you need to update your contacts in our database. And if you haven't checked and you're unsure, please check with us as soon as possible, preferably today or tomorrow, because we need to prepare all the email addresses for the voting. So this is what your ballot will look like in your inbox, roughly. It comes from tally@icann.org. When you open the email, this is what you will see. I did a test vote just so that I could make a screenshot for you. So this is a ballot for myself. The name of the voting is there, start date, end date. And then you have something called ballot ID. You can see just above the voter. This is a quite important ID for you. Mark it somewhere, because this is your unique number, and you can control that your vote has been counted correctly by checking this number later. So this number is important for you. If you look a few rows above, it's just saying ID, just under the name of the vote. That is not important. That's just the ID number of the vote itself. It's just for our internal purposes. But the ballot ID number, that's important for you. And then you'll have a URL at the bottom of the email, which you should click. And when you click on that, you'll come on a page that looks like this. And on this page, you have the whole vote formulated, exactly what you're asked to vote about. And then it's saying, please mark your vote on the council recommendation. I vote in favor, against, or abstain. And I'll click in favor.
Abby, sorry. Again, Carolina, this is going back to your question about the members' report or where you can find the council recommendation. Say, the council recommendation, as is stated in the ballot itself, is fully documented in the members' report, and there is a URL to the members' report as well. Okay, thank you, Gabby.
You're welcome. And as you see, I clicked in favor, but that doesn't mean you need to do that. It's not a suggestion. Anyway, so you click whatever your vote is, and then you click submit ballot. Once you click submit ballot, you come to a new page which looks like this. It also says that you will receive a confirmation email to the same address. And then you can see there's a link called Current Results. And if you click on that link, you come to a page which actually summarizes all votes cast to date. When I did this screenshot, I was the only one who had cast the vote, so this is why there's just my ballot ID there. You can see the ballot ID, and you can see which option I voted for. And as time goes by, you will see more and more votes coming in, and they will all be summarized on this page. You can actually control that your vote has been submitted correctly and counted correctly. Another thing is that you can actually, if you change your mind, you can change your vote. That's not a problem. You just go back to the tally and you open the URL and you vote again. And the system will actually, it will just disregard your first vote. So whatever you vote the last time you vote will be counted. So it will just say that your first vote or votes have been disregarded. So you can change your mind in case you wish to. And then, as I said, you will get a confirmation message from the system. Again, it's from tally at tally.icon.org. Just saying confirmation of ballots. And again, in the in this email, there's just a summary of your ballots. And this is what it looks like. And this is all that needs to be done. Then your vote has been casted. Bart.
Okay. Thank you, Gabby. Are there any questions relating to the voting procedure?
Yes, I have one. Is the vote confidential, or later you can see a list of the votes?
No, you can only be able to see a list of the numbers that voted, but you will not know, you know, other than your own number, you will not know the who has the other numbers. So it's confidential in the way that you will not be able to see who voted for whom, but or for what, sorry, who voted for what option, but you will be able to see what number voted for what option, but you will not know what, you know, whose number that is. But it's very clear in the way that you can actually control that the ballots have been correctly counted. No, you will not see the names.
Okay. I have another question. No matter what the result of the vote is, the board can adopt it or not.
Yes, there will be again, say, once submitted to the board, there will be a board vote, but the way it's structured is that 66% of the board needs to vote against the recommendations. And if that is the case, then it will be sent back to the CCNSO for a supplemental recommendation, taking into account the concerns of the board itself.
Okay.
So, but that's documented in the CCNSO, say, PDP rules as well.
Okay, thanks.
Yep, you're welcome. Okay, let me now, again, Gabby, thank you. Let me go into the council recommendation itself, so the structure of the council recommendation and what the members will be voting upon. As I said, it is a whole package of proposals and recommendations coming out of the work of Working Group 1 and Working Group 2. But in order to allow, it is presented to the members as a whole package, as we went through an extensive public comment process before. So this is concluding the process, more or less. So the structure of the council recommendations. First of all, it includes the proposals on the selection of IDN CCTLDs, as I said, and secondly, the proposals on the inclusion of IDN CCTLDs in the CCNSO. Now, the proposals themselves are, you can see more or less four categories of them, and say that's almost self-explanatory in the members' report. Say, first of all, you'll see some overarching principles. These guide the criteria and the procedures and the requirements, etc., and are guiding the interpretation, future interpretation and implementation of the criteria and procedures in future as well. So these are the overarching principles. Then there will be a set of criteria What you need to think of, if we're talking about criteria, is that, for instance, an IDN ccTLD string needs to contain at least one non-ASCII character. So again, and there are several others, a second very clear one is that it needs to be a meaningful representation of the name of a country or territory in the in a designated language. And it, again, that is explained in the members' report. And there are some other requirements there as well. And the third part of it is procedures and required documentation. Again, the procedures is more on how the process for application needs to run and the required documentation. Again, this is as you will see, this is we've used, or the working group has used, the experiences and building on the experiences of the fast track process. And there are some miscellaneous recommendations. I'll go a bit more detailed later on in the presentation on what these contain, but again, these will be self-explanatory. The proposals on the inclusion of IDN ccTLDs, again, follow the same structure, overarching principles, some recommendations, and but very limited. But and this is the difference with the selection of IDN ccTLD strings. Also, some proposed changes to the ICANN bylaws, Article 9, so that's the CCNSO, that's the article in the ICANN bylaws dealing with the CCNSO, and Annex B. And Annex B is on the CCNSO policy development, the rules for the CCNSO policy development process. Again, and this is for those who will read the members' report, in the members' report, in the whole set of proposals, there are some notes and comments as included as well, but these notes and comments are not part of the full of the package of recommendations, but are included to assist in interpretation for, say, the people who read the recommendations and proposals now, but also in future when ICANN staff, if adopted by both the members and the board, if it goes into implementation. A bit more on the proposals for the selection of IDN ccTLD strings. Again, one of the overarching principles and one and a clarification with regard to the fast-track methodology is that the current policy for the delegation and redelegation of ccTLDs applies. So it means this policy proposal does not deal with any policy issues relating to delegation and redelegation of ccTLDs. To put it in different words, the work of the Framework of Interpretation Working Group, the CCNSO Framework of Interpretation Working Group, is therefore also relevant for the delegation and redelegation of IDN ccTLDs. So that is, say, that's the way you can, and there are more of these overarching principles, but this is a very clear one. As I said, the proposed policy builds on the fast-track methodology and takes into account, say, the experiences gained and the reviews of the fast-track methodology. And as a result, there are some substantive changes to it. One is that, say, under the fast-track methodology, a IDN ccTLD string needed to be only could only contain non-ASCII characters, and therefore Latin was excluded. Under the fast-track IDN CCTLD strings in Latin script are excluded under the fast track. Under the overall policy, strings need to contain at least one non-ASCII character. So this means that some country names in Latin could be requested as an IDN CCTLD. The most obvious example is probably España, with the tilde in España somewhere. But we have Victor and Carolina who would know better. So that's a major change. The confusing similarity issues have been addressed. And this was one of the major issues under the fast track process. There is a placeholder on IDN variant management, and there is a update and clarification of all the processes to make them more better understood and clearer. So these are the major processes. With regard to the miscellaneous proposals, so these are the procedural changes, what is included now is that the policy needs to be reviewed in 5 years, or in case there is a serious issue. It is recommended that an advisory group is created to assist ICANN staff with the implementation, and the board, once it becomes operational, and there are still some interpretation issues with regard to the policy itself. And then finally, one of the major procedural proposals is that the CCNSO will monitor and adopt the implementation plan of the full for the overall policy before it becomes operational. Again, this is all learned from the experiences over the last couple of years with the fast track methodology. I will skip this slide. This is particularly going into the differences and the issues around confusing similarity review, etc. And this one as well. The second set of recommendations, as I said, is on the inclusion of IDN CCTLDs in the CCNSO. And again, there are overarching principles, and one of the major ones is, again, from this for this set of recommendation from the package, is that IDN CCTLDs and ASCII CCTLDs should be treated similar. This means, say, that, say, there shouldn't be different contractual arrangement up to the extent that is necessary between CCTLDs and IDN CCTLDs, so they should be treated similar. And this has impact on the recommendations on the inclusion as well, as you will see in a minute. So if you go into the recommendations themselves and to the bylaw changes that are proposed, so there is an adjustment of the CCNSO membership definition. One of the real major changes is currently all CCNSO members have one vote, and the proposal is to change this to one vote per territory. The background is that in some countries or territories there will be only one CCTLD, the current two-letter code ASCII CCTLD, while in other countries, for example India, and that example is explained in the members' report, currently there are 11 IDN CCTLDs delegated, and there is one ASCII CCTLD. So if you would have one vote per member, and assuming that all 11 IDN CCTLDs would become member of the CCNSO, then India would have 12 votes. So that this would create a disbalance, and especially if they're run by the same entity, which is the case in India. So in that case, you would have a disbalance between, say, members. So therefore, it is suggested to have one vote per territory. The one vote per territory is only applicable for the real voting, or in within the CCNSO, that is for council elections, vote on a PDP, and as a result of a voluntary arrangement for board selections. And then there is a minor change with regard to the initiation of a policy development process, which is more theoretical than anything else because it's never been used to date, is that to date, currently 10 members can request the initiation of a PDP, and the proposal is that these 10 members need to be from 10 different territories. Again, going back to the example of say, I just described, of India, you can see why. And there are no further major changes with regard to the bylaws, etc. Then finally, some background information. As I said, the members report itself, so this contains the council recommendation, and the council recommendation runs from page 7 to page 30, so it's a whole package, and this is the URL. And for background information, particularly on the members' vote, the CCNSO policy development process, which is part of the ICANN bylaws, and for the members' vote, section 13 is relevant. And Victor, going back to your question regarding the voting of the board, I think that's section 14 and 15 of the policy development process. So that's taken care of. And that's the end of the presentation. Any questions?
No, it's fine with me, Bart.
Yeah?
Very clear.
Dennis, any question from your end?
No, Bar, no question here. Thank you.
Carolina? Okay, then I thank you very much. And as Christina said, the presentation and the recording will be available on the CCNSO website. And Carolina, going back to your question, I think it's a matter of informing people that they need to vote. So we still have a lot to do. And maybe there is a role for the regional organizations or for you and maybe for Victor and for others as well.
Yes, I would suggest, I was going to suggest to Carolina offline, because when we see IDNs in Latin America, it's like something, because we mostly don't have, only España would be the case, and very little cases. But here there are also another issue about the membership of the IDN CCTLD managers. So I would encourage not only to talk about IDNs, but also about the membership, everything that you explain about that, that is also important for everybody, not only
that's
for the
one,
ones
and
that are interested in IDNs.
Yeah, and I think it, and maybe that's something, but Victor and Carolina and others as well, this is not just about IDNs, this is also making full use of your membership making full use of the membership of the CCNSO. Say, yeah. This process has been going on now for 6 years, and although it doesn't affect you directly, it does affect others. And if people don't vote, then I think that will send out a very uncomfortable signal to the outside world.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay, then thank you very much, and talk to you next time.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.